You're listening to Food Integrity Now with your host, Carol Gervais.
Hello and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Gervais. I am a certified holistic nutritionist and the host of the show. At Food Integrity Now, we like to investigate and explore what's happening in our food supply so that you can make wise decisions for your health and for your family's health. And I'd like to give a big shout out to Ben Sound Music for our intro and outro music. Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening today. I'm here today with Zen Honeycutt of Moms Across America. She and her family and others in support of what's happening at Standing Rock are there, and they were there last night when some events transpired at the Ocheque Sachue camp. And yes. I wanted to just get Zen on the phone so that she could give us an up-to-date of what actually transpired last night. So Zen, what happened?
So thank you, Carol, for having me on the show, and thank you to all your listeners. I'd like to first preface this with saying that Moms Across America is here thanks to all of our supporters who have donated, because this what's happening at Standing Rock, which is the water protectors are in attempting to stop the pipeline from being put underneath the Missouri River, which would not, you know, which would break eventually. It's not if, it's when it would break. And pollute water for 18 million people downstream. And so we are here because this is another example of how the corporations are bullying our government to put the profits of the corporations before the health and the well-being of the people. So we feel very strongly that we as Americans, as mothers, as citizens, really need to do anything that we can to support life and well-being on Earth. And so we raised money, and we really appreciate everyone who supported for us to come here. My family and Lisa, who's my assistant, works with Moms Across America, and her son Seth, and we caravaned up in, with from LA on November 15th, which was the day of action. And we arrived to Standing Rock, and on the first day we were able to do a heart action. They didn't call it a direct action, a heart action with women in front, non-Native women, Native American women, and then children. And that action consisted of no arrests, no macing, no rubber bullets. It was peaceful. We were able to pray on the bridge where there is a barricade. And that barricade is the reason for the action that happened last night. So a few weeks ago, there was an action which resulted in vehicles being put in the road and set up on fire. Now, the police, of course, blame the water protectors, but the water protectors would have no reason to do that, to barricade their own road and their access to the pipeline, right? So it's obvious to us that it's the police or the DAPL workers, the Dakota Access Pipeline workers, that put two vehicles, they look like military vehicles, in the road, set them on fire, and they've been there all these weeks. And the Morton County Police said that they were going to remove them 2 weeks ago and have not done that. So last night, there was a Native American man, I'm not sure which tribe he was, I'm guessing Lakota, but Native American man who got a tow truck and was able to move one of the vehicles. And during that time, of course, the police arrived, and the elders, women, young adults were praying for them, just chanting and praying, and then they started shooting tear gas. And that's when we were asked to go and support. Now, I didn't know what was actually happening, but we just went there to support. I brought some blankets to pass out to the water protectors because we soon realized that they were being sprayed with hoses. And actually, it looked like a tank that had a cannon at the a gun at the top instead of a gun. It was shooting water. So it was shooting it and arcing over the entire crowd, probably, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 feet, which was being sprayed over the crowd, drenching them with icy cold water in sub-zero temperatures. Then they also later brought out a hose, which some people are calling a water cannon, but my understanding from another supporter is that a water cannon knocks people over intentionally. This was not a water cannon in that sense. It was a hose which required three or four people to carry, so it could have just been a fire hose. But it was intended to drench the people, not just not knock them over. And so that obviously would cause hypothermia. It also causes the increase of the intensity of either the tear gas or the mace. The water acts like a magnet. So when the tear gas or the mace, I don't remember which one now, hits the face, it burns the skin. So they were intentionally trying to intensify the pain of the water protectors, and this was extremely disturbing. They brought out the water hose also to put out the fire, which the young people created on a safe spot on complete dirt, the banks of the river, right near the water, and they were trying to put that fire out to prevent the young people from keeping their bodies warm and from getting hypothermia. And so that was very intense because the young adults built a human wall with their backs, and somebody brought tarps to them. So they stood with their backs to this hose that was spraying probably about 50 to 100 feet with very high pressure water, preventing the water from putting out their fires. And they were successful. The policemen must have tried this while I was there over the course of, say, 7 hours. They must have tried it at least a couple of dozen times. And they were not successful. Towards the end, when it was around 1 o'clock in the morning when I left, I was very sad to see them also shooting these young people with rubber bullets. So you would see them drop. They would shoot them in the legs so that they would fall. They did shoot other people in the head. There was a man that had to have his head stapled back up, because they were firing at close range. It was very traumatic. They did also test an IRAD machine, which is something which sets out a very loud noise and can cause you to actually vomit. And I covered my ears before that, you know, because they said testing. I was able to cover my ears, but there were legal witnesses there that said that they cannot use that within the closed range that they were using it. That it is completely illegal. So that's my belief why they didn't set it off again, because they may have witnessed that we had, they may have seen that we had legal witnesses there, or just maybe they, you know, had that understanding. But they used some kind of percussion grenades, which are just, they make very loud noise. They set them off. It's like a small bomb or a large firework. And, you know, again, they set the tear gas bombs or the tear gas grenades. They set them off. They shot them into areas of grassy areas where there were almost no people so that they would cause fires. They repeatedly did this on both sides of the bridge. They would shoot tear gas bombs off that would cause fires and also, of course, you know, gas people off of the bridge. So it was extremely intense. It was nothing short of warfare against peaceful people who simply want to protect water. And I'm very, very saddened by the state of America today. Yeah. I also have to say, though, that I'm incredibly inspired by the commitment of especially the young adults. You know, these young people, I don't mean children, I mean they're in their, you know, early 20s and perhaps early 30s, that had far more tenacity than I ever would. They were far more fearless than I ever imagined that I could be. They just are tenacious and committed and showed an incredible amount of restraint. I mean, for somebody to have a woman, you know, shot in the head right next to them, and then they don't attack the police officer, takes an incredible amount of restraint for them to stand there and continue to pray, right?
That is absolutely amazing.
It's extraordinary.
Tears in my eyes. It's just incredible.
It's extraordinary. Now, that's not to say that some of the young people didn't get upset and swear at the police, and some people didn't, you know, act angry and run around and, you know, things like that. Some did, but for the majority of them were extremely prayerful and, you know, just said things like, is this, the young woman was shouting, is this what you wanted to do when you grew up? Is this really how you want to protect and serve us? All we want is clean water. All we want is to be warm with the fire. You're putting out a fire that's preventing hypothermia. You know, I mean, they were just being rational and reasonable and making a request for these police officers to stop what they're doing and to go home. And
is there any mainstream media there covering any of this?
I've seen Washington Post there, I can't say who else. There are other media people there this week, and they may be working on stories to put out, you know, over the next few weeks, because apparently the project, the engineers have until January 1st. That's their deadline, to have oil flowing through the pipeline by January 1st. So we're running short of time, but we don't expect that the Army Corps of Engineers will grant the permit until about 30 days from now. They have 30 days to decide that. So some of the media may be holding out on a stories until, you know, more of a decision is sort of final.
I did see an article, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was by the Washington Post, and they painted a little different picture, that there was rioters and that the police were just protecting themselves.
No, nothing really could be further from the truth. It's the actions that I've seen is there are people standing there praying. They may be chanting, you know, water is life, you know, mini Waconi, water is life. But they're not shooting anything. They're not pushing anything. They have shields, yes, to protect themselves from the water and to protect themselves from the mace. But they're not burning things. They're not throwing cars and, you know, chairs or, you know, anything like that. So there's a lot of the police officers simply making things up in order to justify their job. And, it's a very sad state. You know, what I saw and what I heard from legal this morning was that 167 people were injured from what they're calling as the water cannon. And 7 people had to go to emergency for injuries for rubber bullets to the head. 1 elder man had a cardiac arrest on the front lines, and he's still in critical condition. So these are injuries on our side, not on theirs. And that's a fact that shows that we have not been, or the water protectors have not been violent against the police officers. There's simply no evidence to show that. So, we expect there will be legal action against the Morton County Police. This is absolutely police brutality. It's against the law to do much of what they have done. It was totally unprovoked and should not be allowed. It's simply injustice.
Okay.
And very sad.
So I know there's a lot of people listening to this wondering what they can do. Can you give us some suggestions on what people can do? People who can't physically be there, what can they do to help?
Yes, and I do want to acknowledge the supporters on the bridge, because they thought, what can I do? Just like all of you who are listening are probably thinking, what can I do? And I want to acknowledge that the supporters on the bridge in that moment, they brought blankets, they brought coats to give to the people who had just been sprayed with water, so that those people could take off their wet coat, put on a new coat, and go back out to the front line. It was truly amazing. People brought hot soup, they brought hot drinks, fry bread, oranges, and ponchos, hand warmers, you know, wool socks, things like that. So it was truly amazing to see this community come together. It was so well organized. The medics were there. Trucks were going in and out, bringing people. And there's a lot that can be done. So if you donate, you can go to Ocheti Shakowin Camp.org, which is OCETISAKOWIN Camp.org, directly, and you can see what they need directly. You could also donate to Moms Across America under Action on our website. You could go to MomsAcrossAmerica.org under Action and click on Protect Our Water. We will, by the end of our trip, assess the total amount that has additionally been donated and make sure that it goes to people that we personally know will use it for very good use. Like, for instance, we know the school teachers there, we know the medics there, we know the elders there, we know a woman who is running a woman's circle, who is standing for protecting the women who are at camp. There are 8,000 people there now at camp, and there have been a few rapes. There has been some domestic violence. So the women that are going there need to be sure to bring walkie-talkies and to be careful about who they're with and who they're around. And there's no drugs and alcohol allowed at all. So we also need to install some, you know, security for the women that are going there. And we'd like to donate some money to her to have walkie-talkies for the women, especially the Native American women who perhaps can't afford it right now. So you can donate to us as well, and it is tax deductible. We will make sure that it gets to the right people, or you can donate directly to the camp. If you do send supplies, please watch the short video, which I'm going to post as soon as I can, from the medics, because the medics are getting an overwhelming amount of some things. Like, for instance, if they say we need garro root or licorice root, they get literally, like, you know, 40 pounds of it when they really only need a couple pounds. So we just want to make sure that we send them what they do need and not too much of certain things, because then they have a storage problem and we don't want things to go moldy or to waste, right?
Okay, so, and you're going to be posting that on Facebook on Moms Across America?
Yes, Moms Across America, Facebook. I'll post it as soon as I can. We have a lot of technical difficulties, and this is because the DAPL workers or the police, we're not sure which ones, are flying a plane over the camp, and they are intercepting the cell phone signals with what they call a stinger. And even though I'll have, say, 50% battery, my phone will suddenly say zero battery, and it will shut off.
Oh, my
goodness. Yeah, so, and this is happening to everyone. They are intercepting the cell phone signal, so we are not able to report the news the way that we could, or give live accounts or share our testimonials of what's happening. So we will report as often as we can and as soon as we can, but you can donate directly to our site or to them, send supplies. They really do need money for things like PPEs and your winterized actual building to keep warm. The cold is really, really going to be a problem. It gets well below freezing throughout the entire winter, and we need to support the water protectors to stay alive.
Okay, great. Well, I hope our listeners can do what they can and also call the White House.
Yes, please. I appreciate that. Yes, please call the White House, 202-456-1111. President Obama needs to come out here now. He needs to see what's happening. He needs to send legal, the Department of Justice must send legal witnesses to see what is actually happening here. The other thing we want to request is that Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America are the main supporters of the loans for this pipeline. We're asking that everybody pull their money out and tell them, we will not put our money in your bank because you're supporting the pollution of the planet, police brutality, and the injustice of indigenous people. This absolutely cannot be happening. So please pull your money out of Chase Bank, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America. Tell them why, and find a good credit union near you.
Great, great. Well, there's a lot of things that people can do, and I know that, you know, many of our listeners, as well as many other people, are just watching this and thinking, what do I need to do next? So thanks for this great information, Zen, and thank you for all you're doing there, and we'll be in touch with you. How long are you planning on staying?
I plan on being here until the day after Thanksgiving, so for the rest of the week, and there'll be actions every day, probably morning and afternoon. They are really amping up here because we don't have much time left. We really need to stop this thing. And we need to put our demands or pressure or requests to the Army Corps of Engineers as well. So please look them up to request that the Army Corps of Engineers does not allow the permit to drill underneath the Missouri River.
Okay, great. Well, Zen, we won't keep you because I know you have a lot of work to do there. So thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for, you know, reporting the truth to us. And it's important.
Thank you.
And we'll get this out to as many people as we can, and we'll keep following you on Facebook too. And if we need to do another quick interview at some point, we'll do that.
Okay, thanks, Carol, for getting this news out, and please, everybody, tell your friends and family about this and raise awareness. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, Zen. Stay safe.